and welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server SSL Certificate and Key Management. Today's presenter is Brett Ostrander. Brett is an SSL security subject matter expert and a team lead for WebSphere Level 2 support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Brett. Brett, you may begin.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brett Ostrander. We can go to slide 2 here, and I'll go over the overview. Okay, here's the agenda. What I'm looking at today doing is really a high-level overview of the version 7 and 8 certificate management. My plan is to go over the specifics of and changes from version 6.1. I'll probably reference that a few times. Then, based on the feedback I get, I plan on doing at least another one, maybe two presentations in the future. So we're going to cover the chain certificates, renewing certificates, personal certificate requests, key stores, and certificate expiration monitor. As you can see here, the chains, let's go to slide 3. Starting at version 7, we implemented default root signed certificates. This was done in order to move away from the self-signed 6.1 certificates that seemed to cause, well, a little bit of problems. The roots make things quite a bit easier. When you use a root signer, it allows one certificate to control or sign multiple personal certs throughout your entire cell. Previously, the personal certs were set to expire every year. The root certificate now is set to last for 15 years. The personal certs that are signed by the root still by default last year, they renew yearly, and this can also be changed if you wish to have these last longer than the 1 year. The idea being that you still have a 15-year root certificate that clients, you know, that could be the admin agent, job manager, the web server plugin, your scripting clients, as long as they have that one root certificate, they will trust that server. Let's go to slide 4. The one key is to understand the difference between root certificates and self-signed certificates. As the word states, self-signed sign themselves. A personal certificate has a subject and an issuer. With a self-signed certificate, the issuer and the subject are the same. This explains a lot of times when you get that browser warning where it's basically the browser side determines that it's a self-signed certificate not trusted by a CA, that a known CA, basically. When you have a root certificate, you can get it signed by either a third-party CA, VeriSign, Thought, Entrust, or your own internal CA, or you can use the default roots, root CA, which signs the certs, again, creating a two-chain certificate with the 15-year expiration and the 1-year expiration. Go to slide. Well, actually, let me just say one thing here. So, yeah, at 6.1, we had self-signed certs generated upon node and cell creation. 7 and 8 now have, by default, and I'll touch on this in the configuration GUI here in a second, the 50 and 1. So that's, I know I keep repeating that, but it's a key to understand that even though the personal cert is 1 year long as you have the root signer, you're good for that 15-year period for all your clients. Let's go to slide 5. So when the certificates are created, again, this is the default creation. The self-signed root certificate will have an alias name of root. We'll see that in a minute in a screenshot, and it'll carry the host name. And actually, 20 years is a typo. It's 15 years. I need to correct that. The personal cert that is signed, so each node will then get its own one-year certificate that will match its host name and cell name, et cetera, et cetera. The key point here is each node will get its own personal cert signed by that root. The host name will match the host name of the server it's on. Therefore, when you connect with a client, a lot of times web apps mostly, you'll see this. If you have the root certificate in your browser, whatever that is, if it's a default in this case, you won't get any warnings or prompts or messages saying proceed, you know, warnings or whatever. Go on to slide 6, please. Okay. The console at version 7 and 8. Now, this isn't anything new. 6.1 had this also, but not this chain part, but certificate management in general. There were a couple things added at version 7 where you can create chain certificates. By default, we ship one root certificate in each cell or node. So a node would have its own, if it was just a standalone server, not part of Deployment Manager, you know, network deployment, the node would have its own root, and it would sign the personal certificate for its node. Once you federate into a cell, you inherit the cell root certificate, which now signs all the nodes in the cell. Again, going back to the point, when you have now one root certificate and signer cert that you can trust and hand out to clients. Go on to the next slide, please, number 7. This screenshot shows the certificate key management panel. The drop down there, a lot of time you can see, I'm going to discuss a couple of them later on in the presentation, but in this case, the root certificate key store, which I've been talking mostly about so far, located in the root-key.p12 file. So that root has a personal cert in its personal certificate section, and this is the default for the entire cell. Slide 8, please. Okay, during profile creation, you do have the option to customize a lot of these settings. The defaults are, again, the 15 and 1. You can change the. I'm going to go on in the next slide. Show the GUI here. You can change those to do a couple of different things, and that being follow along with the default 15 and 1, or you can say you want to use the root key store from another cell. You can also do that. You can import that, and we'll just in some screenshots coming up here. We'll talk about that. Password, as you know, as most of you probably know, the default WebAS. You can set it whatever you want here. Let's go to slide 9, show a couple, I believe, yeah, here's the screenshots. So by default, again, I won't spend too much time going over this, but when you create a profile, you create a new default certificate and a new root. And let's go to slide 10. These are just going over what I've just discussed. Basically, it determines your host name. It pens the cell and node name. It shows the defaults and allows you to set passwords. Slide 11. If, again, just a screenshot showing what I just mentioned a minute ago, you can actually go ahead and import a root certificate. It doesn't have to be from another cell. You can have your own root key with your own personal cert. Specify that. It can be a whatever format. And you can then go to the next slide, 12. It would then generate the personal certificate on the node or each node or on the specified node for that certificate based on the root personal cert that was created in the previous panel or specified in the previous panel. Let's go to number 13. Okay, yeah. Renewing certificates. can only be performed on self-signed, and it should say default chain certificates. There's an option where, again, in a further panel, you can use external CA to create a personal certificate. That can't be renewed automatically. Yeah, the options there for deleting and replacing are there when you go and renew. That would just delete your old personal certs and old signers. Again, there's a new key store that's added now that saves those. I'm going to talk about that shortly also. So let's go to slide 14. The renew, done from the console, or you can do it with a admin task command. Mostly shouldn't have to do this. If you leave the defaults configured the way out of the box, basically, with a certificate expiration monitor turned on, it should handle the renewal for you. We've fixed most of all the bugs and that we saw early 6.1. You shouldn't have any of the console sync problems. I know a lot of folks we see trying to still, create their self-signed certs for longer, worrying that the 1 year expiration of the personal cert is going to cause them, sync problems or node outages, and that just should not be the case anymore with the root signed certificate. Go to slide 15. Okay, this page is a good page just to talk about in general. This is what it's going to look like by default when you have the 15-year and the 1 year cert. If you look at your options here, standard configuration would be just this. It would just be the default, signed by the root, good to go, you're all set. You can also create a chain certificate. Let's start from the right. So, there's the renew button on the right is what I just mentioned before. You can select the checkbox, renew it. It'll renew it for the default period, 1 year, and you'll be on your way again. Revoke, not often used. Export is... It's good to understand this, actually. The difference between export and extract. So when you export a certificate, you're exporting the public, the key, the private key. You're exporting everything. So basically, when you export, you need to have another key store to export to. So you would... This certificate here is in the node, as you can see up top, is in the node default key store, which is a key.p12, and it's a PKCS12 file. In order to export this certificate, say you wanted to use it on another host in the ID, most likely on the same node, obviously the host name should match, the CN should match, you would export that to another key store. It could be JKS or P12 or whatever type of key store you wanted to. On the same note, in reversal, if you want to, so I have this certificate here, but say I want to have another certificate on this node. I have VeriSign, Entrust, GoDaddy, whatever. I have another certificate. I want to import that certificate from another key store. So the import and export is done basically key store to key store. So you're going to get prompted for passwords. You're going to need to know, you need to know all that. Extract option here, basically, if you want to extract the signer cert, the public key from this default. Again, not something you're going to need to do much, if at all, anymore, because I would just go and get the root and extract that, right? There's no use extracting these leaf or identity certs, whatever you want to call them. And when I say that term, what I'm talking about is the leaf or identity is the actual, the top certificate there, basically what is unique to that node, as opposed to the root, which is cell-wide. But theoretically, you could go and extract that. Now, you might want to do that if you have, if you go jumping to the left here, if you have a self-signed certificate, it would not have that's obviously signed by anything. You would need to extract that and add that as a signer to any client. Replace option, that is for, you would need to have a second certificate here. So basically, I would need to go and create a new change certificate for whatever reason, or a new self-signed certificate for whatever reason. And then you would you can actually choose to replace this. This allows you to change things on the fly. You shouldn't have to existing connections would get broken, of course, but you can actually do all this, and as long as you have dynamically update option checked, which again is the default, you should be able to do all this on the fly without node restarts. Receive a certificate from a certificate authority. That is something I'm going to talk about in a second, but we might jump back to this slide just to, or just remember here that there is that option to receive a certificate from a CA. Delete is delete, and create is create. The middle one, not often used. That's probably something I haven't really seen that used too often. It's you would have to have you would basically have to have a CA client configured, and I just don't see it that often. Let's go to slide 16. And like I said, we're talking about the personal certificate request. So say you don't want to have a self-sign, which most likely you don't. And for whatever reason, you want the root, default root configuration that we now ship with is not enough for you. Basically, you want to have a third-party CA. So you can actually go and, or you want to use your internal CA. You know, a lot of companies have their own internal CAs that can go and sign these. You can actually go and create your certificate request. And like it says here, that the private key is generated and sent off. So there's the link where you would do this, personal certificate request new. You're always going to want to do this on a key store, so you would go to your node default key store for whatever node, or for each node, or for the cell default key store if you wanted to do it for the console deployment manager. Go to the next slide for me, slide 17, please. And here's what it looks like when you create a certificate request. So just to recap, there's the self-signed, there's the default root signed, the 15-year, 1-year, and then there's this option where you use a third-party CA. So this is what we're doing here. We are creating a certificate request. You give it a label. The label can be anything. You choose your algorithm. Default is there. The key size, 2048. I believe 2048 is now the default at version 8 for all certificates, and it's 1024 at version 7. So we did increase that for version 8. That is the difference between the two versions. I believe the maximum is 8190. Let me get the number right here. What was that? Yeah, 8192 at version 8 is the largest key size available at this time. The common name should be your host name. This will alleviate, you know, you want to make sure you do match the common name with the host name of the node. Because the reason is, when you do hit this with a web app or a browser, you will get a warning if these don't match. You'll get a warning if the certificate's expired, the host name doesn't match, or not trusted by a third-party CA. Those are the three major reasons for you'll get that warning. Fill in the rest of the fields. When you click Apply or OK here, you're going to get that file created up top, cert.arm. Let's go to the next slide, slide 18. So this is basically a placeholder at this point. Once you click Apply, you'll have that file saved off wherever you saved it, and you'll have underneath, if you look at the breadcrumb trail up top there, you'll see under Personal Certificate Requests, you have this placeholder basically here waiting for you to receive the certificate from the third-party CA or your internal CA. Let's go to slide 19. So just as an FYI, some folks, or a lot of folks, may be familiar with this. What this is, basically, when you create that cert.arm file, it's a text file, and this is what it creates. If you open it up, this is what you'll have, and this is what you take and copy it. And in general, for most CAs, you take it and you actually paste it into a form field after you've gone through and put in your company name and all that, paid your fee. Whatever that is, whatever length of time, You'll paste this, and then let's go on to the next slide, 20, please. Basically reiterating what I just said. Yeah, so you'll take that file, paste it, and you'll receive your certificate.cr.arm.dir file from the internal CA or third-party CA, and you'll then receive that. Let's go to slide 21. This is kind of a gotcha or an FYI. When you create these requests, you need to create and receive in the tool in which you create this. So if you can't go and use like Keyman, create a certificate request, and then try and go and receive it in the console, or vice versa. There is the trail there. You would want to choose. So basically, you're going to receive your certificate from the CA. After they'll send you an email with that file, you'll receive it, and then you'll basically have. If you go back to slide 15, was it? Right. So instead of once you receive that certificate, instead of it showing here as this internal root file and default, the alias can be whatever you want, but you'll have either one or two or three chained certificate listed here from that third-party CA. So let's go back to 21 then. Yep, 22 please then. Common question and just something that, be aware of the major key stores that are used. The cell and node managed are just that. They're cell and node managed. Key.p12 will contain the personal certificate, and the trust.p12 will include your signer certificates. So basically who you trust. And then the node, key in P12, or at the node level, we'll see in a minute here, I'm pretty sure I have a screenshot of the node level. The node trust.p12 is generally not used by default. The entire cell points to the cell level trust.p12. Ease of management, once you decide you would trust something, it's assumed that you want to trust it in the entire cell. This could not be the case for some folks, so you can change that. But by default, everyone uses that cell level trust.p12. Now the other thing is the ETC files. The ETC files are used mostly, they're referenced by the SSL client props, which is called from all your scripting commands and your server statuses and stop server and any of those client commands in the bin directory that make a connection to the app server or deploy manager or node agent will reference the SSL client props, which in turn use these as their key and trust store. So again, making it easier at version 7 of version 8, when you in your etc trust.p12, you'll have by default the root certificate, root signer. So even when the nodes and cell personal certs renew after that year by default, it's still going to trust it. It's still signed by the same root. There'll be no handshake problems. This is different, again, than referencing the 6.1, where because they were all self-signed, every time you updated the personal certificate on the node or deploy manager, you would also have to go and extract it or copy over the trust.p12 to the etc directory, or if you have that prompt enabled, you have to say yes to reaccept the signer into your trust.p12. It's just a lot cleaner now. Let's go to slide 23. And this is just a general overview of what it looks like from the console main page under key stores and certificates. Again, the change was made so that you don't need to dig down into the manage endpoints. You can see all your key stores and trust stores right from this page, and they are scoped on the right, so you can know. In this example, there's only one node, but if I had a second node, it would be node 02. You would see also here, so you would see two additional key stores. Again, you can see on the right side key and trust.p12 files. The options up top, you can change, again, this is pretty standard stuff. And you shouldn't have to use the Exchange signers as much anymore like you used to at 6.1, again, because of the root concept or default root concept. Let's go to 24. Okay. Again, off the main SSL configuration page, when you select the configuration options, this is a two-node, there's only one node, cell, one node in the cell, so I have two options here. If you select the node default settings, and page 25, you will see something like this. And as you can see, the first thing to point out here is the trust store name is the cell default trust store. No default key store, again, and the by default, the server certificate alias and default client alias are set to none. This can be changed, none being you let the server manage what they want to use. Now, without getting into, I don't want to get into, the idea here is in the next presentation, hopefully to get into the quality protection settings and all that stuff, but just real quickly, a common configuration here, so let's say my node default key store, I had two personal certificates in there. They could be two roots, they could be, one could be a root signed and one could be a self-signed, or one could have been imported from a key store that another company gave you that, say, you wanted to make a connection to them and with they have client auth enabled and you want to make sure you use that key store. So basically, you can specify here, when you are the server, use X. Okay, so let me say we got two certificates, X and Y, in our personal certificate section. You can say when we're the server, use X. When we're the client, use Y. Right? And if people have questions on that afterwards, we can go into that in more detail. But you would want to choose a different default client certificate alias if you are making an outbound connection to a remote resource that had client auth enabled, and they only trusted certain clients or certain personal certs or, you know. Let's go on to slide 26. A couple new things at version 7 and 8. There's the default root store. I've touched on that a few times. When you create those or renew or whatever you create from this root-key.p12, which itself contains a personal certificate, which signs all those. The default signer store, this is just a convenience thing, really. If you, by default, it contains the root signer, if you ever need to go grab it. It's also available in the console or whatever, but if you say, know that, you know, in my configuration, I'm going to be creating a bunch of trust stores, you know, for whatever reason, and I know that I want to go and trust all these VeriSign, GoDaddy, Thought, and Trust. I can add it to this one default signers P12 file, and then whenever I go and create via admin task or in the console create a new trust store, they will automatically get added. The other one is the deleted.p12. That's just temporary stores. You delete one just in case you delete something you don't want to. The certificate expiration monitor cleans that up when it runs. And then the RSA, just a couple of these are a little more advanced. We can discuss them if people are curious. But yeah, there's more of an FYI here of a couple other P12s that you might notice in your configuration that you haven't seen before. Let's go to slide 27. And I kind of already really touched on this. I pretty much said all this in the last slide. Just saving steps by adding everyone you know you want to trust to that trust store. Defaults dummies not included. Some folks might remember that version, I guess it would have been 5.1 now, and it used the dummy server trust and dummy server key and all that, which included the dummy personal certs. And that's not included any longer. Something that if you really had some back-level servers, you wanted to add them, you know, you could do it. Though not recommended, a lot of those servers are, long since out of support. 6.1 is almost out of support at this point now. So let's go to slide 28. Yep, and I think I've already touched on this. This talks about, for reference, what it's going to be named in the alias. And then, yeah, the certificate expiration monitor will clean these out. Slide 29. This was here since the certificate management at 6.1, but it is still there, and it's fully operational. I know I get some folks still worried that it's not working, but if you're running this, it takes care of everything for you now, and it's pretty solid. It will replace your certificates and should not cause any outages, the whole purpose being, the movement to the root signed. I think slide 30. And this is just kind of, as an FYI also, something you'll see in your logs now and then, assuming you have, as turned on by default, the certificate expiration monitor, you may see these type of warnings, and I think 60 days is the default. It runs every 4 weeks. Again, it's configurable, so if a certificate is set to expire within 60 days, you get a warning, and then the next time the certificate expiration monitor runs, it will go ahead and it will replace those. Go to slide 31. So, again, nothing earth-shattering here. I covered a lot of just the chain certificates. Probably beat that to death a little, but it is key change, and it really is there for convenience. Renewing certificates, again, there for convenience. Certificate requests, that's a common thing. A lot of folks like to use third-party CAs. And then the new key stores we covered, and the certificate expiration monitor. Again, I'm just trying to let everyone know that this really does. It's real clean now with the default configuration, and that was the point I was hoping to get across here. With the roots the way they are and everything configured out of the box, you really should not see any of the previous issues we saw at earlier versions. Let's go on to slide 32. So here is some links for reference purposes, some additional resources. And I'll hand it over back to David now.
Okay, thanks, Brett, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. Be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic that you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know via that same email address. You can also connect with us through our Facebook pages and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Jackie, we'd like to open the lines for questions.
One moment, please, for your first question. Card M. Tyson, your line is open.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. I asked this within the chat. Has it been addressed in WASA version 8 where we have an issue that we've seen in both version 7 and 6.1 where we'll have a label and the alias have different names? We like to keep the names consistent, and when we try to correct that on a renewal, there will be an error saying that it's the wrong label. And what we've been able to dive into is that the security.xml file has not been updated, even after a restart of both the DM and all of the corresponding nodes. Have you all seen or heard of this issue? And if so, has it been corrected in version 8? Thank you.
Yeah, this is Brett. And let me try to make sure I understand. When you say label, you're talking the alias?
No, Casey, no. There's a label option. Obviously, when you're creating your CSR, there's a label option, and then there's the alias, right? So let's just say you for the label, you say 123, and then for the alias, you make it, let's just say, hypothetically, 456.whatever.com. If you, however, what will populate in the security XML file is the label, and if you try to correct the label on the renewal, it won't update that previous value. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you never seen that before?
Well, okay, so you're creating a new key label and what, certificate request, whatever it is, and then you receive it, and you're saying that because in your SSL configuration you chose the previous label?
Right. Well, no, you don't choose the previous label. What I'm saying is that once you receive in the new cert,
right,
it won't like it because it doesn't match the previous, you know, the previous label. And basically what's happening is that the security XML file is not erasing the old label.
I haven't seen that, to be honest.
Okay.
I could test it if you want to. I could certainly do a test and make sure we fix it, if not, get it fixed.
Sure. I'll be glad to talk with this offline. I was just hoping if someone else may have heard this. And I have some logs I can show you where we've encountered this. Basically, the previous label was set errantly, but the alias was correct. So
okay,
when we tried to correct the label in the future, you know, or if, well, after the cert was renewed from the third party,
right,
we had to keep the errant label.
Huh.
That's how we encountered it, basically.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to send me an email, we can definitely, I can see if I can, it should be easy to recreate.
Okay, your email is on the presentation, correct?
Yeah, very first page.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry I didn't have an answer, but yeah, I'll
no
try
problem
to figure it out for you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Vishnu Candy. Your line is open.
Hey Jack, this is Vishnu from Roylink. I have a question that, you know, when we renew the, you know, root certificate, default root certificate, do we need mm-hmm. to recycle DMG or any node, or just sync will be do the job?
So you're renewing the actual default root?
Yeah, default root, we have one key store certificate, right? So for RSA key store, it's a RSA token key. That's a key store certificate. That's a personal certificate. It's going to be expired soon, so we need to renew that certificate. So for that, do we need to restart DMGR?
You created your own, so you have your own root defined, basically, that's signing your personal certs.
No, we haven't created anything. You know, it came with the profile creation, so it's going to be expired. Yeah.
It came with a 15-year expiration? And your
it's a one-year expiration, the key store one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, the personal certificate.
Yeah, personal certificate.
Right. So you should not have to restart. Now, you're going to, existing connections will get broken, you know,
mm-hmm.
web, but no, you should not have to restart.
Okay, so we don't need to restart, we just need to sync the nodes after the renewing the certificate, right?
That is correct. And then, but I think it even says in the main page of the SSL certificate key management with the dynamically update runtime,
mm-hmm.
you know, it will update it. Now, it does say to not impact customers because it will break existing connections, right?
Yep.
Do it in off-peak periods. It actually says it right in the main console. So a lot of times folks will restart to make sure everyone gets the changes all at once. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
but
thank you.
But theoretically, no, you should not have to restart.
Okay, thank you. And I have one more question. So
sure.
In what scenario we will be using this RSA token key? I mean, is it only used when we have the job manager profile, or it should be, you know, it's going to be used in the DMGR profile too?
It's going to be used when it creates the DMGR root, the cell default root.
Yeah. But I mean to ask, you know, in which functionality does the RSA key function? Because for the node default trust store and the key store will be used in exchanging them from, you know, plugin and the app server, right? So, but how this RSA token key will be used in?
The RSA token key, the purpose of that, the RSA root certificate, is to sign the RSA personal cert, which is stored in the RSA key store.
Yeah,
which creates the default root certificate lifetime of 15 years. That's so. It's really after that initial time, you're not using it. No.
Okay. So it's just for, you know. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question is from Venkat Upala. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Venkat. Hello. Can we view the? Why do we have two keystones for WebSphere? Can we view the only one keystone for keystone cluster for WAS?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question?
Why do we have two keystores for WebSphere?
Why do we have two keystores?
Yes.
Like as far as you know, not having just one with personal certs and signer certs. Is that what you're asking?
Can I use the same? Can I use the keystore for both?
Yes, you can. You can. WebSphere made a conscious decision for management and scalability and to have two separate keystores for your personal certs and your signer certs. If you wanted to, though, you could have one keystore that contained both. That's fully supported. But you see why we would separate it in a case like the trust.p12 being a cell-wide, you know, used by all the nodes in the cell. That way it is managed separately than the key stores, which on each node would be separate with their personal certs. You see what I mean? So that way you kind of separate the two for management. But you could have one, you could theoretically have one key store called key.p12, and you could use that for every node, every cell, and throughout your entire configuration of, you know, dozens of nodes that contain both the signer and the personal. That is possible, yes. It's not mandatory. And someone posted here, Martin Lynch, yeah, key store keys contain your private key, and trust store is for your certificates, so public keys, which is signers.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Stephen Chen. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Stephen from Scotiabank. I have a quick question, right? I'm not sure if you realize that when you retrieve the CA certificate from another server, right, the certificate is not, I think it has a different fingerprint than the public certificate on the server. Do you understand?
You're saying when you retrieve the signer from a remote server?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I realized just a few weeks ago, you know, when I retrieve from a port,
right,
I can get a certificate, but this certificate is different from the ones that I see from the server, you know.
Right, because the server side contains the private key for the personal certificate. You're not going to give that out to clients.
Right, but you know, still, they're all, you know, a public certificate, but the fingerprint are different. So I'm not sure how, you know, WebSphere works, you know, in this detail. Because I know, right, on the server side, it's the, you know, we have two public certificates. They are intermediate and the root.
Right.
But when you retrieve from port, right, it's only one certificate.
Yeah, it depends. We actually, there's some configuration changes now where we actually, so initially, I think at early version 7, we got the end-entity relief cert signed the public signer. Now, we actually, you get the root cert, I believe.
I'm not sure, because we are using version 7, we're not
right.
Using version 8.
So I think, if I'm not mistaken, and you can send me an email, I'll tell you the six-pack level, but basically, at one point, we were retrieving the signer cert for the end-entity relief cert, even if it was signed by an intermediate and a root. Now, that changed, and we now get the root certificate.
Okay. Yeah, I sent you an email.
Yeah, that did change. I think I know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, but that's no problem, right? You know, both way works. When I retrieve the
right.
certificate, the expired date is just you know, at the end of this year. But actually, the two public certificates has the expired date.
Right.
More than 10 years, maybe.
Right, and that's what you that's why we changed that and fixed that, because yeah, going out and retrieving from port and getting the identity cert that runs that expires in a year, then you're going to need to go back and do the same thing in a year, whereas if you go and retrieve from port the intermediate and root, then that's good for, you know, generally a lot longer period of time. So
right.
That's
you mean in the new version this behavior has changed?
Yes, we did correct that. There is a fix. I can probably give you an APAR number that we changed that.
Sure. I can send an email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Amit Paul. Your line is open.
Thanks. My question is already asked by Vishnu, I think, earlier. This was basically regarding the recycle stuff after we add any certificate. And one more question I would like to ask, like, sometimes we retrieve the certificate from the port, like, for example, any web server certificate that the web is using, we sometimes retrieve that certificate and add it into the key store. In that scenario, should we just resync the nodes, or do we need to recycle everything, like the deployment manager node, like in this case?
Again, as long as you have the default configuration where dynamically update runtime, you should be okay.
So that means in that case, we don't need any sort of recycle, even if we are adding just the signer certificate, or even if we are retrieving it from port.
Certainly not from signers for sure. The only like trouble point you can run into is if you go and change personal certificates, because you know clients have connections based on that. What you presented earlier, and now if you go and change a personal cert, you know that essentially is, you know, breaking the socket. So now signers, certainly, yeah, you can add those at will, and they take effect right away as long as the node's synced and everyone has a copy of that updated trust.p12, assuming you're using the default configuration. It should be fine.
So just to clarify, what you're saying is once we add the signer certificate, as long as the nodes are synced, we should be fine, right?
Correct.
And the same goes with when we retrieve the certificate from the port, from the web server port, as long as the nodes are synced, we should be fine, right?
Correct.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Satish Abraham. Your line is open.
Hey, hi. This is regarding the personal certificate. Is it possible that we can create a personal certificate which is more than a year validity?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the default root signed?
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the screenshot alluded to that, and it's maybe hard to read, but you can do that during profile creation. But you can also go in, and if you want to do that, you can just go in to the key store and go into your personal certificate section, and you can just if you want to keep it, so you want to stay with the default configuration, just choose to create chain certificate,
mm-hmm.
and on the next page you can just give it an alias. It can't be the same default or whatever, but you can just give it the exact duplicate common name, you know, organization and everything. And just change that to however many years you want, or you know, or days. I mean, so it's still going to be signed by the same 15-year root, but it can be valid for. I mean, I guess you would not want to go past the root. So, you know, if you want to do 10 years, you could do that.
Okay. So my next question is we have an IaaS web server, but then when a personal certificate expires, it could not go and update the KDB on the web server level. So how do we manage that? Is there any automated?
So you're saying you have a managed IIS server?
Uh-huh.
And you want to replace the key.kdb. So when you go into the web servers, you can actually see the...
I mean to say, is there any automated way that we can update those certificates on IIS web server?
I'm going to say no, but mm-hmm. I'm 90% sure you can't manage the IIS web server certificate from the admin console. I don't know of a way to do it. Send me, if you want me to give you a 100% answer, send me an email and I'll reply for sure. But I'm almost positive you can't manage an IIS server key store personal cert from the admin console.
Okay.
I don't want to say no for sure because I'm not 100%.
Okay, thanks.
next question comes from Harish Daruru. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Harish from TCS. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, assume I have an ALPA where I have IHS as well as subsphere installed. So when I create a certificate, so in the CN name, the documentation says we should give the host name of the machine where we are creating. So now, since I'll have three or four multiple certificates which will be having the same CN, so how does this actually work in terms of certificate resolution?
So, sorry, I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. You have multiple personal certs?
Yeah, assume I have an IHS, I have a personal certificate for IHS, I have WebSphere, I have a personal certificate for my WebSphere deployment manager and for...
So when you say, sorry to interrupt, but when you say your IHS server, you mean like the key.p12 file personal certificate?
Personal certificate in plugin, plugin.
Or the plugin key.
Yeah.
The plugin key is manageable, but the actual, like the question before, the IIS question and the IHS question.
I'm not coming from managing the certificate. My question is, the personal key in the KDB, the CN what we give will be the host name. And in the WebSphere, let's say for deployment manager also, we have a personal certificate in the key.p12 which is defined at the cell level, we'll have a personal certificate for DM. So the CN of that personal
right.
certificate also will have the same host name. Since
it
is on the same machine.
Right.
So I just want to understand, if we have multiple personal certificates across in different key stores which are there on WebSphere and on IHS,
right.
so how does this actually
okay.
resolve, sir?
So I think I can answer that, and after I'm done, tell me if I covered it. But basically, the IIS server or IHS server or whatever the case may be, so it has its own key store, which that's not your question. So, but the way these web servers talk to WebSphere is via the plugin, and that's the plugin key.kdb file. Okay, so in that plugin key.kdb, it is a client to WebSphere. So when it makes a call to WebSphere, it needs to trust WebSphere, right? Now, if you're using the root concept that we have at version 7 and version 8, all you're going to need is one root signer in the plugin key.kdb. That will trust all your nodes in your cell and the deployment manager. Okay?
Okay.
So now if you're using a self-signed, like maybe 6.1 old style, then you would need to have a signer in your plugin key.kdb for each of the nodes and the deployment manager.
Okay.
But if you're using the root concept, you only need one signer, and that will trust everything in the cell.
Okay. So, I mean, my question really was in terms of defining the CN in the personal certificate. So it doesn't
right.
really matter whether we have to give the host name of the machine where we are having where the certificate is actually living. So we can customize the CN name something different than the host name?
You can, but what happens when you use a web application and access that?
URL is fine. Browser related SSL key.
Browser will prompt a warning.
Yeah. Okay. So as
but you can have you can the CN can be whatever you want. You can in fact you can share it through all your nodes in your cell. It's not good practice, but it's definitely doable.
Okay. I was just looking at in terms of ideal state, what can we define a different host? Other than the host name and create a personal certificate. Okay. Secondly, on the IHS front, so I have my IHS installed on a separate ALPA. So I was trying to create a PKCS, which is .p12 extension file using the IKEMAN from the IHS, but it's not allowing me. So it is asking me to download unrestricted
policy files?
Yeah, policy files. So is that I cannot do that or...
And what are you trying to do when you get this message?
I've just ignored that and I went back to my machine where I have TDS, where I have downloaded all the unrestricted policies and I've created from there. So I just wanted to understand, is it the case that we cannot create PKCS12 because IHS supports only KDB and probably there's a restriction on using the IKEMAN tool and creating P12 file?
Well, it depends on the ciphers you're using, I guess. And encryption, that's what the unrestricted policy files are for. I can't really, I'm not a web server expert by any means.
It's really something to do with IKEM and stuff and the Java policy files.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, the unrestricted policy files are there to you know, for higher encryption.
Okay.
So maybe it depends on what you're trying to do and what you're trying to create.
I'm just trying to create a .p12.
You should be able to create a .p12 without having the unrestricted policy files.
It was not allowing me to do it.
Then that's something we can definitely look into. If you, I'm not sure if you're aware of the ESR or ESR, you open a PMR, then we can definitely, or you can send me an email and I can open one for you.
Because that's not affecting me anyways. I'm using a different IKEM and I'm doing it, but just wanted to ask since...
yeah, I guess I would need to know more information on what you're doing and what you're trying to create.
Okay. Now the third question is, I'm actually working on iTeam as well. So, iTeam, where we have iTeam installed on WebSphere 7, and I have a TDS server. So TDS, generally, the default key store in TDS is KDB, which is fine, that's up to that. So when I take the public key from TDS, and I import it to my WebSphere trust.p12, which is defined at the cell level, it's not taking it. But when I look back at the documentation of iTeam, it says we have to define the trust store at the JVM level. Okay. So now, I have defined a trust store at JVM level, javax.net.ssl.truststore.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I have used JKS. That's what iTeam documentation shows us to use a JKS format. But I guess there is a... change in terms of WebSphere that it is compatible, but it is in some exception case it is giving exception in terms of JKS. So my question is, 7 is still supporting JKS, or we have to use completely on
P12? 7 still supports JKS, PKCS12, KDB, JCKS, PKCS11.
Okay.
It should work. Yeah.
But that's not working. Then when I look back at some of the tech notes, it says that you have to use P12 instead of JKS, and then that will work.
I don't know that you have to. I mean, you can. I don't like what you're doing, though, defining this as a JVM, setting these JVM arguments. We have better tools in place now with dynamic outbound configuration, and, you know, you can configure in your console, you know, an SSL configuration. You can explicitly map it to a server. So there's better ways to do that now. I don't know that I would how old is this documentation?
It is probably, I'm not very sure. I think it's a year, but I can quickly check.
Yeah, it's probably a few years old, because there's better solutions now for that sort of thing. We don't see a lot of people setting JavaXNet, SSL, Keystore, and TrustStore on the JVM very often anymore. There's definitely better ways to do that.
It's an year-old document.
Yeah, unless there's an explicit reason for it, I don't know. This is a forum here to go over that. If you want, I mean, send me an email and I'll get you.
I can drop an email. So the really question which I want to ask is, I'm fine with using BK12, but then when I'm establishing connection with my AD adapter, it is not accepting P12. It is explicitly looking for JKS. So for one. Let's say from iTeam to TDS, it is looking for P12, but from iTeam to AD adapter, it is looking for JKS. So now the real confusion is, I don't think so I can define two trust stores at JVM level. So there is a problem which...
You can define two trust stores at JVM level, use dynamic outbound.
Okay, I mean, I'm not very sure on this dynamic outbound, so when I'm trying to define at the JVM level, two different trust stores with the same attribute, but...
Well, you can't define two trust stores with JavaXNet or JVM arguments, no.
Yeah, that's what.
So yeah, but you can certainly do it with dynamic outbound.
That's something that I know. I can I can explore that option. So, I'll send you a detailed email what I'm doing. But this is something which is annoying me, that one service is accepting P12 and another service is not accepting P12. So, just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Well, I'll do what I can. I'll respond to your email, certainly.
Okay, thanks a lot. The support is being discontinued, or you still have the support for JKS with 7 and 8?
Yeah, we support 7 and 8, JKS.
Okay.
It's not being discontinued. I'm looking at a version 8 console right now. I can even create a new key store from the console, JKS.
But that's really giving problems in terms of, you know, at least for me, it's giving problems when I'm using JKS.
Okay, I need to see the problem, and if we need to, we'll work it through PMR.
Okay, I'll drop you a mail, so we'll see what we can.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Jaspreet Narula. Your line is open.
Hey, Brett. A couple of quick questions. I think Martin is helping me on the chat. We have a IIS server and WAS, and we have SSL connectivity in between those. Now, earlier we were using WAS 5.1, so we're moving to WAS 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the plugin KDB file, if I only import the change root certificate,
mm-hmm.
will that work, or do I need to import the personal certificates for each node as well?
Nope, just the chain root. That's the whole idea.
So that should work, and there's no need for the personal certificate import.
Nope, the entity, like the leaf certificate. No, there's no need.
All right, thanks. And yeah. One more thing. Now, since we're using these chain things, when I open the browser, and even if I accept the install the certificate on the browser,
right.
it's still giving me an error saying that certificate invalid. The security certificate presented by this website has errors.
Now hold on. Are you importing the root or the what are you importing?
Root. Root.
Does the host name match?
Yeah.
So
these are two different questions. I mean, in this case, when I'm getting the error, I do not have an SSL security between IIS and web server, so I'm directly hitting the HTTPS port on the WAS.
That's fine. I understand. Like going to the console, for example.
Right. So why
okay.
am I getting this certificate invalid error?
Well, assuming. Like I said, there's three major things that you get those warnings from. Certificates expired, the host names don't match, or it's a self-signed cert that, or a root cert that you don't trust. So I need to see the exact error. Well, what does the exact error say? It's going to give you something like saying the host names don't match or something. That's probably more likely what it's saying.
Yeah, it just says, you know, there might be a problem with the certificate.
But expand it. You're going to need to expand it and tell me more because there'll be more information there. It'll tell you why it doesn't like it.
It says this problem might indicate an attempt to fool you or intercept any data
okay.
you send to the server.
Okay, so what on the URL in your browser, what is, after https://, what are you putting there?
My host name.
What's the host name?
NC006DEV8053.
Okay, and what is the certificate CN?
I'll have to look.
Those have to match.
Okay, we're using the default one, so that should definitely match, right? I mean, I have not done it. This is the
But the thing is, I can, for example, I can create aliases, or I can use localhost and get that warning, you know, but if
no,
I use the right...
this is the actual host name.
Yeah, I need to see the error.
All right. Okay, probably I'll send that to you in an email then.
Okay, yeah.
And,
send me a screenshot, though.
All right. Okay, I'll do that. And we recently had an issue, you know, where the old key store passwords expired. I guess that was on April 26th. There was a note sent across.
The plugin key?
Yeah, the plugin key.
Let me ask, sorry to interrupt, but what level of WebSphere were you at?
We were at 6.0.
See, that's, so I'm like, I'm not the IHS person, and don't quote, like, I'm not 100% on this, but I'm very confident that if you were 6.1 or later, you would not have seen that because we manage that, the plugin key.kdb, from the certificate management, certificate management was added at 6.1, which
mm-hmm.
wasn't there at 6.0. So, yeah, you would have, we would have updated the plugin key at 6.1 and later on your web server. And it would have not had that expiration date.
So what is the new expiration date now if I go...
There's none.
Now, in case, you know, I still... Because the plugins are... I have updated WAS, but the plugins are still the old ones on the IIS. So we might not be able to actually update it in time. So is there any known issue having WAS 5.1 plugins using with WAS 7?
Shouldn't be. I don't believe. Again, I'm not an IHS person, so I don't know everything about the plugin. I know quite a bit, but I don't think there should. Well, the plugin is own install, so I think you might run into problems because you do have like WAS 7 plugin and WAS 8 plugin, you know. So I don't know about the actual plugin key.kdb file though. If you can just copy that over.
Okay. All right.
I would guess you could, but if you want a solid answer, I would get a ticket open with the IHS team to verify that.
All right. And I was actually, you know, after updating the key store password, I was trying to find out for the new expiration date now, but that GSK command with minus expiry is not working. So maybe is it the version of the GSK, or is there anything I can do with WAS 5.1 plugin to get the expiration date?
You can open it with a keyman.
Yeah, I opened it, but you know, it's not updating the expiration date. It's still showing April 26th, though it's working now, but it's not showing the expiration date on the iKeyman.
I'm not trying to divert you, but I really would create a ticket with the IHS folks. They've gone through so many of these; they're the experts at that. I really have only touched the surface of those.
All righty. Okay. Thanks, Brett. I'll send you an email with that screenshot.
Thanks.
Thanks for the answer, Brian.
Yep.
Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I think we might have time for one more question.
Okay. Danak Dani, your line is open.
Hi. We are using our own key store where we have a CA cert and the personal certificate, right? And what is happening is that whenever we configure that with the WebSphere, we cannot look at the chain because VeriSign comes with one root certificate and two intermediate certificate, and then there is a personal certificate. And what really happened with us is that one of the intermediate certificate got expired in the chain, and we were never able to figure it out using either WebSphere or iKeyman tool. And finally, we had to use Java tool.
Yeah, key tool.
Key tool.
To force the full chain?
To verify whether the full chain
valid.
Yeah, is valid or not. So is there any plan to include this full chain that we can view with iKeyman or the WebSphere?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about here, and
this is kind of annoying, and we had like a big outage actually.
Yeah, I actually wrote a tech note on this, on how to force WebSphere to send a full chain as a server, because by default, we only send the entity or leaf cert. So what happens is like browsers will try and complete the chain, and if for example they have a bad intermediate, they'll complete it with the bad intermediate, look like it's expired.
Mm-hmm.
I did write a tech note on how to force to send a full chain, and I can send you that link if you like.
Yeah, but the problem we have is that we are not with the browser. I'm not sure. So when let's say for example when I go to the IBM admin console, it will show me the whole chain actually with the tech note you are talking about.
Yes, because basically what we're doing is forcing the full chain cert into the key store.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would like to see that tech note.
Yeah, okay. Send me an email, I'll reply with that tech note.
And the another question I have is that with the web server, we can request a client certificate. I don't recall what is that directive, but with WebSphere, we can do the same, right?
You request
the client certificate. So client has to provide the certificate when they do hi and hello.
Oh, you mean client certificate authentication?
Yes.
Okay, so like under the quality I alluded to that a little bit, the quality protection settings, and I will go over that in the next in my next WSTE. And I guess how many people do we have on still? anyone who has anything specific, advanced questions, if they want to send me an email, go ahead and do that, and I will try and cover those in my next WSTE. I know this one was pretty general, but yes, we do have quality protection settings where you can force clients to send us a certificate so that make sure we trust them.
Right, so I did configure that, and then I was trying to, because we have customized client actually, that we run with Java, and it did not work. So it looks like WebSphere is sending a request back, right? WebSphere is responding back, but client is still not able to get that request in a proper format, I believe. And if I change my port to use the HTTP server port, it works fine without any problem. So I'm
yeah.
not sure if the format that web server is sending and the WebSphere is sending is same, or is there any tweaks to be done for that?
To be honest, the best way to resolve those are JSC traces.
Okay.
Find out what's exactly going on.
Okay, yeah, I can open PML with IBM.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. That's really the only way to fix those or to solve those in an efficient manner.
Sure. Okay, I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for their all the questions. And unfortunately, we've run out of time and must conclude the question and answer session. If we were unable to answer your question, please send an email to Brett, and he'll do his best to respond to your questions. His email address is on the first slide of today's presentation. We appreciate your participation, and we hope to see you. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you again, Brett, for presenting today.
No problem.